This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
Alan Carl.
Dan Wirt.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Alan, you served in K-Force.
Yes.
So, and what was that? What did that involve?
When I heard that they were sending a force to Korea of 1,000 troops or thereabouts, I was already in the Royal New Zealand Dental Corps territorial unit, and I volunteered to go if they were taking a dental seat, which they were.
Yeah. And this was the original?
This was the original in December 1950.
Okay.
And we left in December the 10th, 1950.
Okay. So the territorials had a dental unit?
Oh, yeah, they had a dental, yes.
To serve as
mainly,
dentists?
Yes, territorials. But there was also, they had their regular, each camp had dental sections.
Okay.
So, So I volunteered here and I got a job, probably the only volunteer, so they didn't have much of a choice, did they? Mm.
So were there many dentists who went to... Well, if there's 1,000, they only wanted one dentist for 1,000?
Yes.
Is that about the same as you'd have...
In the Second World War, they reckoned on one dental section, mobile dental section, which meant a dental officer, a dental mechanic... And a clerk driver, and a dental assistant to help the dentist at the chair side.
Okay, and that's about the same as you get for a civilian dental service for that age of people. You know, it's like 1,000 people in of.
Well, they reckon youngish. They reckon the Second World War. One dental section per 1,000 troops, and they started from there. Okay. And of course, in the Second World War, they might go from infantry to artillery to engineers.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So you were allocated to a particular branch of the service?
Yes, well, ours was mainly an artillery regiment.
Mm.
So I was appointed to join up with them, stay with them.
Mm. Okay.
Later on, there was a transport company went over of 500 troops.
Yeah.
So I had 1,500 to look after dentally.
Yeah.
So all of them were made dentally fit before they went away.
Yeah.
But that does with the New Zealanders' teeth, it didn't matter much whether they were dentally fit or not.
Yeah.
I was working at the... I was a resident dentist of the Wellington Hospital at the time.
Hmm. Okay. Yes. So how does it relate to... when they think, how many dentists do we have in New Zealand? Is it... Well, you've got children and old people, so it's quite different.
About that,
yeah.
No.
Okay. No. So were there... With the troops then, there was mainly that you were with the artillery, so were they mainly... active artillery people. How many were support? You were a support unit with the dentistry.
Yes.
So were there other I suppose cooks, communication, transport,
or signalers and medical and also there are engineers not attached to the artillery, but they had their own units. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and signalers. Yeah.
Okay.
But mainly the 16th Field Artillery Regiment.
Okay, yeah.
That's where I was appointed to stay.
Yeah, okay. So, and whereabouts did you serve in Korea? You were with the artillery
yes,
all the time?
I was
so?
With regimental headquarters, mm-hmm. with the artillery, yeah. And where they went, I went.
Okay, now you did tell me they went fairly far forward, didn't they?
Right up to the Imjin River only. Oh. We arrived in Pusan 30th of December 1950, mm-hmm. and we gradually went up north. Mm-hmm. The first stop was at Muyang, where they calibrated their big guns, 25-pounder guns. Then further north to Nak Tong, then Naigon, then Yeoju, then to the Imjin River. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
okay. So that was the big. Now on the there was a talk recently about the Korean War, and mm. at first the North Koreans pushed the South Koreans way down.
Yes.
And then you and the others, the Americans yeah. and others, came in,
pushed them back up. Yes.
So you went right the way up as yes. they went up,
yes.
and then you got pushed right back down again.
No, we didn't get pushed down again. No, we camped on the Imjin River for a long time. Yes.
Okay.
Mm.
So what about I'm thinking from the talk, the Chinese came and...
Well, the Chinese we were on the ship, the Ormond.
Yeah.
Which took three weeks to get to Korea.
Ah, okay.
And when we were halfway there, we heard that the Chinese had come into the war.
Ah, okay.
We thought we might be turning around and going back.
Oh, okay.
No such luck.
So, yeah.
Okay. We couldn't complain, we're all volunteers.
Yes, yeah.
Well, except for a few regular officers, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what was it actually like? Now, I've seen some photographs, and at least for part of the time there, it was very cold, wasn't it?
Oh, it was dreadfully cold. Arrived in Pusan, and... we were in a tent overnight, two of us, we filled a basin of water for washing, shaving in the morning. There was a kerosene heater in our tent, and the kerosene heater was still burning next morning, and the water was a solid block of ice. Yes, yeah. It was dreadfully cold, and yeah. we weren't kitted out for it. We didn't yeah. have the right kit for it at all. Not for the first winter.
Yeah.
It improved for the second and the third. We got better equipment. Mm.
Mm. So you had three winters there. You were
yes.
More than 2 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Was that normal, most of the trips for all that time?
I could have gone home after 18 months.
Yeah.
But I stayed on for... I had 2 years.
Yeah.
1 month and an early breakfast, I think.
Yeah.
And then I came home, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So were you very busy during that time?
Yes, well, yes, we were. Because my job was not only to do any toothaches and things, but when it was possible to routinely examine and treat. That is, so we are the troops.
Yeah.
So when we settle down, we just call in the various units, and attempting to keep them dentally fit while they're there.
Yeah.
I had a dental mechanic who made dentures in the field.
Okay.
And repaired dentures and
yeah.
Yeah. So we could do all the main stuff in dentistry, extractions. Fillings and artificial dentures, yeah.
Yeah. So were many of the things you had to do linked to the fighting? Whether from injuries and so on?
No. No. And any injuries would be sent back. And we didn't have many, but be sent back first from our regimental aid post, back a few miles to the Indian Field Ambulance. That was the Indians, they had a field ambulance. That's where they took part in the war. And further back was MASH, and they were Norwegians.
Okay.
And any more serious cases would be helicoptered back to Kure in Japan.
Okay.
That was the way they went.
Okay, given the multinational force, was English was used everywhere and they could all understand?
Yes.
Okay. So you were right up towards, very close to the actual combat areas then, were you?
I was with our field artillery, yes.
So the field, how far forward would the field artillery be? You'd have infantry in front of you and so on, but...
Yes. Well, what is the range of the 25-pounder gun? I suppose up to 7 miles, I know.
Okay,
yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in one stage, the Chinese broke through.
Yeah.
At Kapyong, Battle of Kapyong. We had to move out in a hurry for a while.
Yeah.
Quite exciting.
Yeah. So were you ever, was the artillery unit ever under fire, or were they ever under fire from the Chinese?
The artillery?
Yeah.
Yes, but yes, there were a few casualties, but not many, yes.
Mm. Okay. So what sort of memories do you have of your time there? Was it enjoyable, or...?
I wouldn't say it was enjoyable until later on when things settled down.
Yeah.
It was interesting and exciting and, yes, better than the 9 to 5 day and the surgery at home.
Yeah, okay. So
we might have to... We might have to move at a 20 minutes notice.
Okay.
So we'd have everything ready in the unpacked in the dental tent, and later on in the bigger truck that we were given.
Okay.
And
so
then
you could operate
in
20 from the
minutes.
Truck.
Yeah. 20 minutes. The regiment might be moving, so we'd pack up things and hurry and move. We got quite used to it.
Yeah. So you had to do it quite often.
Originally, so. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Was that moving forwards or backwards?
Yeah. Forwards and one time backwards.
Okay. Yeah. So you're actually quite mobile a lot until things settled.
It was called the mobile dental section.
Ah, yes, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Quite mobile.
Yeah. And the excitement was just wondering where you sort of when something would happen or you.
Oh, yes, when you're in the wards there, yes, it's quite, quite an exciting place to be at times, yes. But we were pretty lucky overall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about you? So the local population, there weren't many
most of them, we met most of them on the way up.
Yes.
They were going back, going down south to Busan, refugees.
Yeah.
The road was covered with refugees. Yeah. Okay. But there were still a few stalwart Korean farmers.
Yeah.
Stayed where they were, with their long black hats. And
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
So, and how about the you said there were different nationalities. Did you mix much with the troops?
Yes, we were camped one time next door to the Turkish brigade.
Yeah.
And that was really good, very interesting.
Yeah.
They lost a lot of men in the war. And we used to mix with the... see every now and then Norwegian MASH.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small unit, but and the Indian unit, of course. And and a lot of British units.
Yeah.
Middlesex, Cosby's, KSLI's, and It looked very sad, really, because a lot of the young blokes in the English units were doing their CMT. And they looked
CMT.
Compulsory military training.
Military training, yes.
And to do it in a war zone was pretty tough.
Yes, I could imagine.
And they looked so very young, a lot of the English boys.
Yes, So how old were the New Zealanders who went over?
Oh, from 21
okay.
upwards,
Would you get many who were veterans of World War II?
A few. The CO, Colonel Moody, was from World War II, and a few others in the artillery regiment were World War II,
Okay.
But mostly volunteers.
So, and the volunteers would all be sort of younger than that?
Yes. We had about 4 months in Waiuru before we went away.
Okay.
Where they trained the gunners.
So did you need any special preparation then? You would have been given officer rank, would you?
I was a captain.
So were you required to have special military training too? Or?
No, although I was in camp for 4 months and got to know the whole lot of them, so much easier.
Yes.
Knowing and going overseas with them.
And then you said you were replaced, when you left, you were replaced by someone else.
Yes, Colin Wilson replaced me after my term of 2 years, 1 month and an early breakfast.
Yeah.
He came over and he had about 6 weeks with me.
Yes, that's
so it. I could show him the ropes.
What made you decide to stay on longer than the 18 months?
Things had settled down then. I wasn't in. And they did have, at first, a little difficulty getting a replacement, but...
Yeah.
Yes.
So when you say things had settled down, it meant all the real fighting had stopped?
The fighting hadn't stopped, but we were in a place where you could dig in.
Yeah.
We weren't moving all the time. Things became more comfortable.
So for the people who are serving now, I'm interested in how much of the sort of exposure to combat there was. You were close to the front lines, so there's some things there. But and you said that some, like the Indians had a lot of casualties. Were they more infantry or?
No, Indians had a field ambulance.
Yes.
Stretcher jeeps. And they were a parachute regiment too. They were there. They went there before us, actually.
Mm-hmm.
A very, very capable unit.
Yeah.
Indian doctors.
Yes.
One dentist.
Yeah.
And drivers. Yeah.
Yeah. Was there much mixing between the units then?
When you could, yes.
So which was it you were saying one group had a lot of casualties?
Turkish brigade.
The Turkish brigade.
Yes. And some of the others too, of course, the British.
Yeah.
Especially on the other side of the peninsula, the Gloucesters.
Yeah.
They had a lot of casualties when the Chinese broke through. They're on the eastern side.
So was that more the infantry that were caught, or
the Glorious Gloucesters infantry?
So is it? Would you find then that infantry, most casualties would tend to be the infantry?
It would be the infantry.
Yeah.
Our artillery regiment supported the 3RAR, which is the Australian Infantry Regiment, and Middlesex British Regiment. What else? Who else? Well, several infantry regiments.
And so for the artillery, there'd be, was it sort of regular activity or just under certain times?
Regular activity once they got started, yes. Before we got to the top, to the Imogen River, our guns went into action. If you're in the tent, and your candle, you had candles, and the guns went off, the whole regiment, candle would go whoosh, whoosh, candles would go out.
And a lot of hearing issues come out from that?
Probably later.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. I get free hearing aids.
So it's not a matter of the odd pot shot now and then there's an assault takes place, so there's the barrage happening first or something?
Yes, the artillery seemed to be going all the time, really, once we got further north, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So rather than specific assaults, some of the image, certainly say First World War, you'd have your artillery barrage and then the troops would advance and so on, or you creeping barrage as the troops move forward, was there?
Well, as I said, our artillery regiment supported the infantry of Australia and several regiments, English regiments.
Yeah.
And...
So I'm just thinking, would there be a pattern of activity then, sometimes very quiet and then a lot of activity?
Yes, it happened. Yeah. It okay. Is, yes. Yeah.
Okay. And then when there wasn't if you were there all the time, then they think, did you have leave to go to other parts of Korea or time off?
I had my first leave in September, and of course we go to Japan.
So you were there at the front line for about 8-9 months, and then.
Yes, I think it was about 8 or 9 months. Then chaps were allowed to go for leave to Japan.
Okay. Yeah. So you wouldn't go elsewhere in South Korea, say, for leave?
No. Not a very pleasant place. Korea.
Why is that?
Always war rhythm.
Okay.
Yes.
So the war was very hard for the South Koreans?
Yes.
So how would that be observed? What is it that makes you say that? There are lots of refugees there, the country is very poor?
Yes, our regiment moving north had trouble getting past the refugees going south.
So what was Japan like then?
Oh, we had a base camp in Japan, a place called Hiro. Yes, very pleasant. And I think it was September I went on leave, and we had our base kit in Japan too, so we could get into clean clothes and have a shower.
Oh, yeah.
It was great, yes.
Yeah.
Marvellous.
Okay.
Our headquarters, KFOR's headquarters, was in Pusan, right at the bottom of Korea. That's where Brigadier Park, head of KFOR's, had his place. And also, there was a base unit in Japan as well.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. So did that mean you get out and see the Japanese much, or you just stay?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. Oh, when you're on leave, yes.
And how did they respond to New Zealanders and British?
Oh, they enjoyed them.
They were what? You were made welcome.
Had a ball, I think.
So there's no carryover of feeling after World War II?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think they did.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah.
Yes. Because the Australians had a permanent force in Japan.
Yes, yeah.
Commonwealth force. So their original units consisted of lots of blokes that were in Japan already.
Yes,
the Australians,
yeah, that
yes.
was the original, was it J-Force there?
Yes.
And they just stayed
yes,
on.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, and you were saying in the tents in Korea, it was very cold. Do you know the temperatures that it dropped to at night?
-40.
-40 centigrade.
-30 to -40 centigrade.
Yeah. So, and you said that even with a heater in the tent, the water
yes,
would freeze
yes.
solid. So how
yeah.
did you, you
well,
covered
we,
yourselves
we,
up?
We slept with our boots on.
Yeah.
Originally.
Yeah.
Until we got proper equipment to that problem. We had a sort of a bed roll which consisted of a canvas sleeping bag and three blankets, but that wasn't enough. We didn't have stretchers either.
So you're on the ground?
On the ground, yes. Later on we got stretchers. Everything improved later on.
So did people get frostbite?
Oh yes, but they'd probably get up on the they're all given lectures on frostbite and how to look after your feet. And
yeah.
Yes.
So it wouldn't be handy to be feet that would get it.
Right? If the frostbite, if you got frostbite, yes, it'd be the feet.
Yeah.
If you got frostbite, the regimental medico would give you hell for not looking after your feet.
Yeah, okay.
Because you had instructions.
Yeah.
How to use your socks and
so it was all have dry clothes and
yes,
two or
yes.
three layers of socks
yes,
and
yes.
then your boots and
yes,
yeah.
yes,
yeah.
long johns,
yeah,
underpants,
yeah, but you'd be feeling cold anyway.
It was cold anyway, but later on we got very good clothing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So were you able to sleep okay in those conditions, or were you?
Well, originally it was pretty difficult sleeping on corrugated paddy fields in a canvas.
Yes, I can imagine.
Sleeping bag and three blankets and with your boots on.
Yeah. And what about food then? Were you given a lot that they could? Get hot meals.
We had very good cooks with the regiment, and when there was a stop somewhere or other, they were very good at getting food, getting some hot stuff ready.
Yeah,
and also we had the American kits of K rations with all sorts of things and. Which you carried on your trip, K rations, American K rations.
What sort of day's food or 2 or 3 days food?
A couple of days probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could get more, yes. K rations were quite easy to get.
Okay. So what were they like?
The K rations?
Yes.
Or tins of bully beef and biscuits and a little tin with what looked like candle grease inside and a wick. And you lift the wick and you put your tin of bully beef over the top of that.
Okay. Yeah. then it's ready too.
But that was when the cooks didn't have time to put up their tents. So
yeah,
it's when you're moving every 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
But normally the cooks did a good job, and yeah.
And when you say the biscuits, they weren't like the biscuits at Gallipoli, were they?
No, I shouldn't know.
No. So you could actually just eat them.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, the K rations were very good. Mm. The American rations, yes. Yeah. Yes.
So were there, was there a New Zealand equivalent?
Only our cooks.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.